We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
LFGM.
I don't think we're supposed to say that. Keith doesn't like that. The other Keith, Hernandez. When WFAN posts stuff and they write, you know, Keith says they're not firing Aaron Boone, you always see a dum-dum in the comments like, Keith who, Hernandez? No. Keith Hernandez works for SNY, bro. Like, guys, keep pretending that you don't know who I am. 888-808-1019. I mean, I don't know who the Yankees are. How many years do they have to go through this identity crisis? How many years do they have to forget what they represent, who they are? Like, it's ridiculous. I get it. You want to blame the manager? You blame the manager, right? Because the shenanigans with Rodon, like, nobody can tighten him up. They haven't had a conversation with him about body language. The young guy, Luis Gil, has spoken through a translator about his body language. A rookie talking about cleaning that up from the beginning of the season. Not showing too much emotion when he doesn't get a strike call or when he gets rocked. I mean, Rodon can't keep the ball in the ballpark. And he can't keep his emotions in check. And Aaron Boone can't say anything to him. He clearly doesn't have any respect. He doesn't have respect for Boone, Cole. I don't know. Maybe it's just me as a fan watching the game helicoptering in. Saying, hey, man, like, all of the emotion after the fact is empty to me. All of the anger and the smacking the iPad, the, you know, slamming the bat, talking with your hands after you already blew the game in the first inning, I don't need it. None of us need it. And all this talk about the Yankee way and how the Yankees are buttoned up and they make their guys shave, maybe they do need to change that. Maybe that guy needs a beard. 888-808-1019, because this year, right, he got rid of the mustache, which he looked terrible with that. Now maybe he needs his beard back. Some guys got to have facial hair. There's just something wrong. We can't put our finger on it. Why can't this guy pitch? Why can't this guy locate a fastball? This guy can't get through the first inning. It doesn't matter if it's the Cincinnati Reds. It doesn't matter if it's the Tampa Bay Rays. He is getting rocked. And the game is over. He cannot be the stopper. And he's getting paid to be. That's crazy. Steve is in Jersey. Steve, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, buddy. How you doing, Keith, tonight?
I could be doing a lot better. That 5-16, 5-16. This is not enough wins. It's terrible.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm not going to complain because I've always been a positive thinker. I'm hoping they turn it around somehow.
Me too. Know?
But listen. I don't know why. You know, like, listen. I was talking to the bus driver on the $2 bus today. He was like, me and him agreed, like, they're in, the whole team's like in a slump, you know? But I got a question for you, Keith. Why don't you think that Boone's going to be gone by the end of the season? Because, listen, me and him talked about this. If it was George Steinbrenner, he would have been gone a couple of years ago, man.
If it was George Steinbrenner, thanks for the call, Steve, calling from the $2 Jitney. I used to jump on the $2 Jitney down there in AC. He called from Jersey. I don't know. There could be a $2 bus anywhere. The only one I've ever been on is the Jitney in AC.
I used to take that into the city.
Word. Where'd you get on at?
When I was growing up in Bergen County.
$2 bus? Oh, I know of that bus. Yes, yeah. I do know of that bus. Anyway, if it was George Steinbrenner, we just got to realize RIP the boss. Actually, tomorrow comes up on George Steinbrenner's death anniversary. Let it go. Let it go. It's not George Steinbrenner. We're so far from that. We're so far from the days of the owner that wanted to win above everything else, so much so that he got himself in trouble, so much so that he did crazy things that people omit, things that got the organization in trouble. Like, just let that go. It's not George Steinbrenner. Rest in peace to him. And shout out to Hal. Hal is not his father, but Hal is still a boss. And maybe Hal tightens them up, and maybe Hal says something tonight, and maybe we see some things happen differently on the field tomorrow. Maybe we see some trades. Maybe we see some moves happen. Who knows? It's not good enough. I know they got to be embarrassed. If you're embarrassed as a fan, imagine how embarrassed they are as, like, faces of the franchise. They don't play. They don't get to take at-bats. They don't throw the ball. They don't catch the ball. But they can't walk around Tampa. They can't walk around New York. They can't walk around anywhere without people looking at them and saying, wow. Wow, frauds again. What happened? And actually, I was wrong with the date, I think. July 13th, George Steinbrenner passed. Either way, we're coming up on that week, you know, in 2010. And I just get tired of hearing it, man. The afternoon show opened up with it like I think a week or two ago, or maybe it was sometime, it was before the 4th of July holiday. Oh, it's okay. What would George Steinbrenner do? It's just so corny to me. We're so far from that. Even when George was still living, it wasn't that. It doesn't take a George Steinbrenner to make heads roll. You see other organizations fire managers at this point in the season. The Yankees won't do it. They won't. And Steve asked, why do I think Boone is safe? Because I heard Brian Cashman say he wanted him to have as much time as Joe Torre and Joe Girardi. And I also know they hand-selected him. What other team did Boone manage? What other team did he manage before he came here? Right? People are talking about how J.J. Redick went from coaching elementary school kids to coaching the Lakers. Did Boone coach an elementary school team before coaching the New York Yankees? He's 7 years in. He knows what he's doing. But at the same time, it's clear that there is a pattern of not having these guys under control, not having these guys as focused and locked in, and every year falling from grace. Every year starting off hot and having either a June swoon or an August collapse where the sky is falling and nobody can figure it out. And it's not just a bad week. It's a bad month. And that's too long for the high payroll that they have, the talent that they have, the history that they have, the fan base that it just doesn't, it's not right. You got to be able to stop the bleeding sooner. But if they don't, what it confirms to a lot of you is business is booming. 40,000 fans showing up. Business is booming. I'm wearing the Yankees 4th of July hat. Bunch of people bought those hats out of the store, $50. All-star hats, $54.99. Business is booming. We got Juan Soto. Those Soto jerseys still selling. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what is the motive? Is the motive actually to win? Is the motive actually to get back to the World Series? Is the motive actually to, like, you know, have some law and order and lay the law down where people are actually fearful of going out there and loafing or going out there and showing up the manager, going out there and not representing the Yankees in the right way? I don't know, man. Sal's out on Staten Island. Sal, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, dude, what's up? I have a question about how much do you think they're going to get if they trade Soto at the deadline?
How much do I think the New York Yankees will get in return for trading Juan Soto at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, if they fall on this path and they fall out the wild card, they're three and a half up on the wild card. If they fall down, you know, they might have to start emptying house. What do you think?
Thanks for the call, Sal. I think there's a 0% chance they trade Juan Soto. They didn't give up what they gave up for a half a year rental. They also will definitely be in pursuit of Juan Soto in free agency. I also don't think that they, with this team, are going to be sellers. But I understand a lot of you saying that. Chris McMonagle's call from someone saying, you know, trade Juan Soho and get Vladdy Jr. went viral on WFAN Twitter and Instagram. I guess it's a cute troll. It's a cute call to make, but it's not realistic at all. Juan Soto is struggling, though. And I do question how much is he worth. And I know a lot of fans are now seeing him, and there's Padres fans that are saying, see, we had a whole year with him. And there's Yankee fans saying, no way is this guy worth $600 million. Because when I'm talking about stopping the bleeding, the Centurion, right? The Centurion generational talent, how come he can't help stop the bleeding? Where's those two homer games at, bro? Where's just the, you know, couple homers? I mean, let's take a look. Juan Soto, in his last seven games, Juan Soto has four hits, one homer, two ribbies, six walks, batting 154. On base percentage, 313. In his last 15 games, he's batting 196. 11 strikeouts, 17 walks. He's a walk merchant. He's gonna get those walks. Three homers, 10 hits in 15 games. Not good enough for a $600 million Centurion generational talent that the Yankees gave up like seven players to get. Let's go to Hackensack and talk to Tom on the fan. What's up, T-O-M? You got it.
Hi, Keith. Second time calling in.
Thanks.
I'm frustrated with the Boone talk. I just don't understand. Help me understand how getting rid of the manager is going to solve it all when we go 10 games out of 12 where we give up runs in the first inning. We get bases loaded with one or no outs multiple times in multiple games, can't even knock a run in. A pitch away from winning a game in the bottom of the top of the ninth, and we lose that game. I can't see how all of this is Boone, and just getting rid of Boone is the answer.
It's not. Boone doesn't play. Boone can't take an at bat. The type of player Boone was is not reflective when you look at some of these guys and their approach, their lackadaisical approach, their space cadet, don't know the situation, don't know the rules type of approach. But he is the manager.
Player accountability.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? That's
why accountability. There's just none.
There's multiple players now that need to be checked. There's multiple players now that need to be held accountable. There's multiple players now that we've looked at to say, nah, that's not right. They need to be tightened up. And we're looking at Boone saying, this is out of control. If it's one or two guys, that's one thing. If there's now five, six guys that are culprits, that's under your watch. That's under your regime. It's a pattern. And that's why fans are pointing to Aaron Boone. It's his team. It's his show.
I get that. So, you know, one of the other
firing him is not going to fix it, though. That's why I said last night. I'm like, you guys want Brad Ausmus to take over?
Right. They're talking about Buck. They're talking about Buck. They're talking about Mattingly. So do
I think that's Mets fans trolling. Like Buck Showalter.
Do we line them up for 30-game segments? And if they don't do good enough, just fire them again?
No. This is Boone's team. This is Boone's era. This is Boone's year. They will figure it out with Boone, or they won't. But I really do feel like the only way Boone is let go, because they're not going to fire him. They'll just not pick up, I think, his option for a fourth year. I got to look at the terms of Aaron Boone's contract. I think it was a 2-year contract with this third year as the option for three. Either way, like, they're not going to blame Aaron Boone because that would be admitting fault. Thanks for the call, Tom. You understand? If you hand select a guy to do a job that never did the job before, and that guy consistently fails at the job, and you cut him short before he can succeed, that is you admitting fault in your own selection, in your own process. If the guy can't get back to game 7 of the ALCS, and the guy, thanks for that, Rami, the guy that was there before him did that, and he never actually could get back to that, you come up short, and you look foolish for letting the previous guy go for a guy with no experience. So, Rami, just let me know, it is 3 years with an option for four, and I believe this is the third year. They won't pick up the fourth year option, and they'll say we parted ways. But all of you that are out for blood and want your pound of flesh, the same way you wanted that stupid pound of flesh against the Orioles, oh, we got to throw at them. We got to show we're not soft. The Yankees have hit a bunch of guys since then, not intentionally, just not having control. And that's nonsense. All these unwritten rules, all that other stuff is nonsense. Man, they got a pitch, they got a hit. It's simple as that. Lebo is out in Queens. Lebo, you're on the fan. Lebo. Lebo, you're on hold. Anyway, let's switch it up a bit. I mentioned Mikal Bridges, and I said a couple words. Now, these Knicks fans, they've been all on it online. All, you know, the Knicks are title contender, champion. Now I just saw they're looking at a Karl-Anthony Towns trade. Basketball is going to be very interesting around these parts for the next few years. You guys saw Cooper Flagg and the Team USA? I mean, I'm perfectly fine with the Brooklyn Nets tanking for that guy. It's going to be interesting the rest of this decade between the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, and the rest of the NBA. Joe is out in Las Vegas getting ready for Summer League. What's up, Joe? Well, damn, you guys are asleep already? It's not even 12 o'clock. All right. The next person that I go to, you guys got to be awake, ready to go. It's not that late. Like, act like you've been here before. It might be your first time. It might be your second time. But let's go to Mark in Allentown. I'm going to give Mark a couple seconds because he might be hearing this live. And there's like a 3-second delay on the radio. Longer seconds, like, I don't know, like an 18-second delay on the Odyssey app. Coming up next, Mark in Allentown on The Fan in New York.
Hey,
there he is. Let's go.
All right, listen up.
Yeah.
I get it. From your perspective, from the Yankees fan perspective, we've got to react in real time. Nothing wrong with that. That's just us as sports fans, right? Like, it's totally fine. I get it. But it's a marathon, man. I get it. It doesn't look good right now. I know that. But, you know, it didn't look real great for the Metsies a month or two ago. And things have changed. I think we get caught up in that week or so, or that month, as this has gone on. And I get it. Things are bad. But in a month, we may laugh at this. And I just want to remind everybody, you know, Stan's hurt. Verdugo's not playing the way he was playing. Hill is not giving you what he was giving you. Cole is trying to come back. Like, things are going to change. Those things are going to change. Sure, Judge was on a hot streak. Maybe Soto gets hot. Maybe Torres gets his head out of his butt. Like, things, you know, the calculations, the math is going to change. And I know that's hard to see and unrealistic to just say it's going to change, but it will.
No, the math, we know the math will change, but the solution, right? When we get the equation, it's not going to add up, in most of our opinions, to being enough to win the World Series. And around here, right, the goalpost is World Series because it's been a 15-year drought. The Mets, their equation is going to add up potentially for them to be a wild card team, and that's going to be whoop-de-doo. Yes, look at us, postseason. If the Yankees make the postseason and are bouncing the wild card round or the DS or the ALCS, it's not going to be forgotten about what happened through this June swoon into July. It's going to be pointed at.
Keith, you got to look around. What happened last year? The Diamondbacks team went to the World Series. Yeah, they lost. Rangers. We weren't talking Rangers in July. They won the World Series. Phillies, 2 years ago, went to the World Series. We weren't talking Phillies in July. That's my thing. Like, I'm with you. Like, yeah. Yankees a month ago, World Series.
Here's the caveat. Thanks for the positivity, Mark. We got to go to break. All of those teams made moves to go for it at the deadline and had better second halves. This is a terrible end to the second half for the New York Yankees. They have 3 weeks until the deadline. They have to make additions. They have to get greedy. I told Cashman myself, stack the deck. If this is the team, go all in and leave no doubt. Add more good players to this team so we don't have to watch Trent Grisham play. You know what I'm saying? So we're not relying on a J.D. Davis. So a rookie doesn't have to carry us. Judge is going to slump. Soto's going to slump. But not forever, because they're elite baseball players. But now, I'm looking at this rotation, and you guys can do the math in October. Who's your game 2 starter after Cole? Who's your game 3 starter? Who do you feel confident in? The math ain't mathing, right? This bullpen is shaky. Now we're rocking with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, and he's actually pretty decent. He's in the circle of trust. But will he be that when we need him in October? Right now, they don't have enough. Right now, they're being exposed. Right now, your worst fears are being realized, that this team was fool's gold in the beginning of the year and that they're reverting back to what they've done so many years under this manager. And now here's Brian Cashman approaching another deadline where he's going to actually have to put together his magnum opus. And I don't know. I can't expect the rest of the league to bend the knee and say, here, Brian Cashman, here is exactly what you need. Here are all the pieces to make the New York Yankees the 28-time champions, winning the World Series in 2024. I want to. I really do. I want to see a parade. But watching these guys night in and night out now, it's not just a bad stretch. This is looking like a bad team. And the record is what it is. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. The numbers tell you that they're playing like the worst team in baseball. And it doesn't make sense for who they are, who's on their roster, their payroll, and what they represent. 888-808-1019. We got to talk Mets so we can be cheery and talk about Grimace and soccer jerseys and oh my God. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Giants.
With the sixth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU.
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's a Mets world, and we're just living in it. LFGM! Grimace! Frank the Tank! Hot Dogs! An apple in center field! The 7 line! Oh my God! The Mets are back! 45-45! The New York Mets, baby! You gotta believe. The Grimazin Mets. The Grimets. The best team in baseball. Number one hit record. Francisco Lindor snubbed. Brandon Nimmo snubbed, but not for long. Francisco Alvarez, the best. J.D. Martinez, Harrison Bader, Jorge Lopez, oh, he's not on the team, Edwin Diaz. Yeah, the Mets, man. I mean,
they could use Jorge Lopez.
No, they don't need him. They got Phil Maton coming through. And now Kodai Senga's on the mend. Did you see Kodai Senga had another rehab stint? Help is on the way. Fret not, Mets fans. Here they come. You've got this team rolling, homestand here, free soccer jerseys. You've got the All-Star game, which they're going to put these guys in. They have to. They've made enough noise no matter what happens. Somebody's making a call. The offices of Major League Baseball are in New York. Somebody's making a call to say, hey, it's got to be Nimmo. It's got to be Lindor. We got to play off this, oh my God, Grimace stuff in Texas. Pete Alonso in the home run derby trying to three-peat. And yeah, tonight they go out and handle business that first game, 31,000 in attendance, owning the Washington Nationals, and you can't be mad at Jose Quintana, back-to-back starts, giving you 7 innings, giving you depth. You can be mad at the bullpen, it is what it is, they're trash. They know it too. Adam Ottavino knows it too. Adam Ottavino knows he should be in the SNY booth. He's got no business. This is his last year, he's about to hang it up. Reed Garrett knows he's cooked. He asked for more of an opportunity this year, not this much. But, yeah, Edwin Diaz, solid. Daniel Nunez, you got Phil Maton. You'll see what he can do. And I think that they'll slowly make a couple moves here and piece the bullpen together where it'll be good enough for you to compete. And when you're looking in the National League, you're not really scared of the teams around you or the teams in front of you. 2 games out of the wild card. The Mets fans are showing up. The Mets fans are believing. And they've got an OMG sign that they keep in the dugout for when they score, like, or when they hit home runs. It's just, I don't know. All of a sudden, the Mets are cool. All of a sudden, the Mets got a bunch of different things in motion. David Stearns is available. I'm waiting for Cashman to pop out and meet the media. David Stearns, he's happy he's in this job with a smile right now. At 500, he's like, hey, this is better than we thought. So, yeah. Yeah. Well, Cashman, was he on camera?
Yeah, I saw a couple of. I don't know if he was on like actual TV live, but I saw.
Because I know I saw the quote from Hoke.
No, he spoke to reporters. I saw they were playing footage of it on Yes.
Okay, he's got to pop out more. So I think that was like a, you know, wow, yeah, I'm here in Tampa. I've joined. There's some
like
concerns.
A press conference. He sat down with reporters in the.
Yeah, I'm ready for the full on press conference because this sucks. I'm ready for the full on press conference, and good for the Mets fans that didn't quit on the team. Good for the Mets fans that have watched enough baseball to understand, hey, the same way the Yankees' hot start was fool's gold, the Mets' terrible start was fool's gold. I remember saying, you know, they had to shake off last year. Were they more of the 2022 make it happen Mets, or were they more of the 2023 let it happen Mets? It was hard to shed that skin at first. It was hard to find their identity and figure out who they were. But you tip your cap to Carlos Mendoza and David Stearns for not just being passengers and saying, all right, this guy's gone, this guy's in the bullpen, DFA here, trade here, this guy's out, like actively making moves. And, you know, speaking of making moves on my screen, the big move for your New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. Mikal Bridges. Okay, let's see. Mikal Bridges is going to bring his three celebration to go with Jalen Brunson's three celebration. There's going to be a lot of threes out there covering their faces and turning their heads. I mean, if you know, you know. Let's go to Ben in Queens on the Fan in New York. What's up, Ben?
Listen, Mikal Bridges?
Yeah.
That was the best trade in the offseason.
Was it? The Nets got a hell of a return for a guy that's never been an all-star was really not a contributor to anything last year. Like, finessing. They completely finessed for, you know, you guys to complete the set, for you to complete the collection.
I don't like giving away five picks, but adding that player to this team at this very moment with Randall coming back from injury, with OG coming back from injury, well, Mitchell Robinson coming back for injury, we're looking like a championship contender team.
A championship contending team. Okay. Name some of the other championship contenders in your estimation going into next season.
Other than the Celtics?
Well, you have to say the Celtics. Yep. The Denver Nuggets, sure.
The Denver Nuggets.
So it's a team from the East, a team from the West. That's it?
And Philadelphia.
And Philadelphia, who you beat?
Mavericks?
I was going to say, what about the teams that were alive once you were eliminated?
Maybe OKC if they developed.
Definitely OKC. Well, they got your boy Ihart.
Philly.
Okay, now we're getting closer.
Or the Denver Nuggets.
You got no respect for the Pacers?
No respect for the Pacers. Zero.
That's who knocked you out. That's who sent you to Knicks in eight.
Listen, we had no OG. We had no Randall. No Mitchell Robinson. No Bogdanovich. We were a crippled team.
Yeah, and no trip to the Eastern Conference Finals again. You were bouncing the second round again. How do you go from back-to-back second rounds?
This year, we were going to smoke the Pacers in five. Easy.
Okay.
No problem.
I like that confidence. Ben, you sound awfully confident. Don't nobody say that, Nan Nutter, like you Knicks fans say that, Nan Nutter. You Knicks fans celebrate earlier than anybody. You proclaim things that you've never even seen. A lot of these young Knicks fans have not seen the Knicks get out of the second round. And now Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby put you there. That's great. I cannot wait to see it play out. I'll probably be there. I'll be around. You guys win and I'll be at the parade. I'll buy you a drink. But you understand now, it's win now. You understand now, like, you got to cruise. You got the number two seed last year. I don't think you're getting a new number two seed this upcoming year. He didn't mention anything about the Cavaliers. They were hurt too, right? The Cavaliers are making excuses the same way the Knicks are making excuses about who they didn't have, them being banged up. Obviously, the Bucks. You didn't mention the Bucks. You think Giannis, who obviously was hurt, you think Giannis and Dame are just sitting around thinking that, oh, yeah, the Knicks are going to challenge this out? You forgot about the Bucks completely. Don't sleep on the Magic. The Magic are going to be a year older, and they can be pesky. The Miami Heat. You know the Miami Heat and Heat culture. They're like, nah, we're not done yet. And we're not even really talking about the West. Out of the West, he said maybe OKC. OKC was the number one seed. They just got your man. They just got your guy who Knicks fans are saying, oh, now we can't win a championship without this guy. The Mavericks eventually made it there. They add Klay Thompson. Nah, I don't think that really makes them that much better. But Luka and Kyrie is a good tandem. They've got a good coach. They've got some good role players. The Timberwolves, you think Ant-Man and Cat, if Cat isn't traded, which I don't think he's going to be traded, you think Ant-Man, Cat, Rudy Gobert, you think they're not trying to run it back and get back to where they were? They're trying to get back to the Western Conference Finals, maybe the Finals. Obviously, you don't have to worry about that in the East. The Nuggets, Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., there are a ton of teams. When I'm reading all these things about, like, the Knicks are a top three, top five contender, there's an argument to say that you're not that high. 888-808-1019. I get it that Mikal Bridges is the last piece to the set. The Villanova Knicks. You've collected all four Dragon Balls, all four Infinity Stones. Okay, stay healthy, right? Stay healthy. He's an Iron Man. I'd put this out there. He's an Iron Man. Will that Iron Man streak end coming up? I guess we'll have to find out next time on Dragon Ball Z. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. Spoiler alert, it will not be a New York Yankee. It'll be one of the guys from the orange and blue team, not the Knicks, the other one. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Man, let's pour up a big double shot for one guy because this guy's playing like an all-star and MVP. Francisco Lindor, your shortstop for the New York Mets. This guy had four ABs, three hits, one walk, three ribbies, a homer. He's balling, and he does it on both sides of the ball. I think there's a lot of conversation on Twitter right now, and there will be more conversation throughout our radio shows tomorrow about Lindor getting into that All-Star game. I mean, Mookie Betts is hurt. There goes a shortstop, and here goes another guy in the National League that deserves it. He was asked after the game about it, and he was quoted by, you know, basically saying, if I go, I'll have an amazing time. I'll represent the Mets, my teammates, and my family. If I don't go, I'll go home and enjoy my daughters, my mom, my dad, my sisters, my nieces, and I'll have a good time either way. This is a guy that's going out there and doing his job. He's not worried about the other stuff. And I appreciate him for how consistent he was through all these years and specifically again this year with the slow start and just realizing, hey, I get paid a lot of money to play baseball in the greatest city in the world. As much as you guys make it seem like it's bad when we're losing, it is not that bad, and we're not going to lose forever. Francisco Lindor, Casamigos' big shot of the night. He's balling right now. 888-808-1019. Quickly here before we go to another break and switch studios, I'll say good morning on the other side. Vin is in Marlboro. Vin, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going, Keith?
It's going.
You know, love your show.
Thanks, man.
Listen to you every night pretty much. So appreciate you getting on the air.
Yes, sir.
You know, listen. I think you always do a great job of, you know, keeping it 100 when it comes to the Mets and being fair and impartial, to be honest. I know everyone makes fun of you and says you're a Mets hater, but they, yeah. I guess it comes with territory, right?
Can't make fun of me calling me a Mets hater. I love it. I appreciate it.
But, yeah, listen, man, as a Mets fan, I just, like I said, I think you're pretty fair. But what I guess what I want to call about is obviously with the trade deadline coming up. I mean, I know yesterday and a few other times you kind of alluded to you think that they're going to be buyers, and you know, especially in maybe even the relief pitching market. But you know, I think we got to remember he traded Hader, and when I say him, I mean Stearns, obviously, in a season where they obviously made the postseason, and you know, they were obviously contenders even at that point in time. So I think he's got a track record where he might start shipping assets regardless.
Oh yeah,
and you know. You know, it's not necessarily just going to be all buy, is what I'd say. And I think, you know, Mets fans need to be cautioned a little bit to realize he's going to do it his way. And I think there's a really good chance that there might be some buying and selling going on simultaneously to, you know, to put them over the top.
Vin, that's a great point. I actually had a note to clarify because I've been saying that they're going to buy. But if David Stearns is as smart as we think he is and as experienced and has as many connections throughout baseball, there is a way for you to sell off some pieces and still be making a push towards the postseason and buying and trying to fix the obvious gaping hole on the team, which is the bullpen. They added Phil Maton today, and I still think that, you know, when I talk about them not selling, I mean, like, there's no reason to sell J.D. Martinez. You never have a DH.
Yeah.
You know, like, now you have a guy that wants to be here, literally said he chose this team to be in a postseason. Why are you shipping him off? For prospects? No, you have a fair deal. That, like, no, that deal is a team-friendly deal, cost-effective deal. Luis Severino as well. One-year deal with Seve. Seve is from New York, or he's from the Yankees. He lives in New York. You think he doesn't want to continue his career with the Mets? He's been the ace of the staff. You need pitching next year and the year after. Sevy's not 40. He's not Verlander and Scherzer. Why sell him off? Now, if you want to sell guys off like a Starling Marte or a Jose Quintana or Sean Manaea or Jeff McNeil, that's different. That's getting rid of, that's trimming the fat. That's getting rid of guys that you don't need. And I think two things can happen at the same time. I think you can make additions to your bullpen and subtract guys from your clubhouse and add to your future as well.
Yep. Yeah, no, I just think it's definitely kind of one of those things where it'll be interesting to see what he does, because I don't know if it's going to be completely linear. I think he might be all over the place when it comes to buying and selling the whole time. And, you know, I'll be excited.
But, like, you're not expecting him to sell Pete Alonso, right? Like,
No. I don't think he's going to do something drastic like that. Yeah, I just don't think he's that type of guy. But you know what? Then again, you never know. Like, it's just one of those situations where maybe he pissed a lot of people off, but if in the long run it works out and, you know, somehow, some way, 2 years from now, we have a prospect or we have something that comes through and everyone's looking back at it, he looks like a genius. I mean, it's one of those things where if you can't win it this year and you can't win it all, is it really the worst thing? I don't know. So I'm just being kind of cautiously optimistic. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the end goal is eventually to win it all. It's not just to sneak into the playoffs and maybe win a game or two like that. And then I think that that's kind of the ceiling.
Yeah, but
based on what I've seen this
in this day and age, Vin, I mean, every single day on this radio station, we hear about the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know? So, like, there's so many people with the thought, you just got to get in and anything can happen. Obviously, the goal is to win the World Series, but, like, now on both sides, I'm looking at the Yankees like a wild card team. They just got to get in, and we got to hope week that this is the year they break through. With the Mets, I mean, you don't know. With this lineup, with the way that they hit good pitching, if they get in, nobody can tell you today that if they get in, they can't win with the way that their lineup attacks good pitching in the postseason. And if their bullpen is fixed by the time we get there, if they got to beat teams 7-5, they can beat teams 7-5.
Agreed. Well, listen, man, appreciate you as always. You're doing a great job. Keep up the great work, and good luck with the little one, man.
Thanks for the call, Vin. 888-808-1019 if you want to join, if you want to call in. I mean, I'm on till 2, but I'm about to break in 2 minutes and go to the other side. Let me sneak a call in. Let's go to Bobby in Rockaway, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, of course. Just, I wanted to talk about the Yankees and then just real quick the Mets, since I know we're pressed for time. But, yeah, I mean, with the Yankees, like we were talking about, like everyone was saying, you know, it's obviously it's going to be tough for them to turn it around. The thing that scares me with the wild card, and people talk about the Diamondbacks, is the Diamondbacks had those three pitchers. You know, they had the good starters in the postseason to kind of get them through a series.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, like you said, I mean, I guess right now it'd be Cole. I don't know if he'll be starting them, but it'd probably be Cole. I hate to say Rodon and Stroman, but
no way. You can't count on that. That's not doesn't sell me on any type of success in the postseason. They had pitchers that could shut down the Phillies lineup back to back, back to back nights.
Absolutely, yeah. And you're going to have so many. I mean, if you're going to go up against some of these teams, especially Baltimore, you're going to have to be able to shut them down. But I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, there's really no one in the minors. I mean, you have Warren and Beter who are going to be relievers anyway, but we'll see who you come up with them. And then real quick on the Nets, I mean, as an old New Jersey Nets fan too, I used to go to the games like Sunday out of games with, and Johan Petro were running out there. So, I mean, we've been through it, but, you know, it's going to be tougher to go to Brooklyn than it is to Prudential Center, obviously, because we should be able to get out there quicker. And
yeah, yeah. Meadowlands and Newark, yeah. I mean,
as long
for
as we
me
don't
now,
miss out on flag.
Now that, I mean, when I was growing up in Monmouth County, it was easier to get to those places just going up the Parkway Turnpike, but now, I mean, I'm a hop, skip, and a jump on the PATH train and train. And even from here, I live in Jersey City now, to get to Brooklyn. And I'm excited to go to those games next year. I don't care if they lose all those games. And I don't think they're going to be as bad as people say. But the return that they got and then even getting their own picks back, I never thought it was possible. I never thought they were going to trade Mikal Bridges. I never thought they were going to trade him to the Knicks for that return. It's unfathomable. It gives you hope. It gives you optimism out of nowhere.
Oh, it absolutely does. My only thing is I'm thinking about the Dame Lillard year, the year that they were going to get him. And they got, you know, in the lottery, they fell back to 3. And, you know, what, they get Derek Favors that year too. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's going to be just like you. I'm excited to watch them. I'm still going to get upset when they lose. It's going to be like that. But
Bobby, if they can get rid of Ben Simmons, I'm pulling up. Like, if they can get rid of Ben Simmons, That would be the best offseason ever if they just somehow just shut Ben Simmons down or cut ties with him. It's the last year of it. That's the last thing I need them to do. This is now Cam Thomas and Nick Claxton's team. I'm fine with that. Those are two guys that we drafted, developed, homegrown Nets that have been here through all of the KD, Kyrie, Harden, even Ben Simmons nonsense. They've got to see all of those superstar players come in and out, even the Blake Griffins, LaMarcus Aldridges. Like, these guys now are ready to be the faces of the franchise, and I'm cool with that.
Me too. You know, we'll see what happens. And it's back to the, back to the just kind of anything. It's optimism, you know?
We don't know. We had too much optimism last year, and they blew a bunch of games, and they were trash. Exactly. What's the worst that can happen? They're trash again, and we're not expecting them to be good? Fine by me.
Exactly. It's fine by me, too. It's just going to be tougher for me in Jersey, you know, obviously going out to see them. But it's going to be great. I just want to, appreciate everything you do, man, and we'll be rooting for the Nets this year and the Yankees. I mean, I'm a Packer fan, not a Cowboy fan, but hopefully the Cowboys and Packers.
Why you gotta come on, Bobby? Why you gotta do that, bro? Like, I don't know why I gotta do like little sneak diss and little jabs like that. Gotta add that in there. I'm a Packers fan, not a Cowboy. We didn't need that, Bobby. We was having a good back and forth with the teams in common that we share. I don't want to think about what the Packers did to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not even repping them going into this year. I'm just an NFL fan. I'm wearing the NFL hat like that dude from the show.
Rob Lowe.
Yeah. I couldn't think of it. You got to see me order one of them NFL hats. I'm going to come in here with a straight up NFL hat. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to switch sides. Go to the other studio, say good morning on the other side. I'll be right back.